The Disappointing Friend podcast is produced on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Eastern Kulin Nations. We pay respect to elders past and present. We're grateful to share in the act of oral storytelling and community care that has existed within these cultures on these lands for thousands of years. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land.
I am Fatuma Denzako, mother, entrepreneur. What is it? Arlo told me this week that I had 12 jobs, and I feel really good about that. I was like, one, I just make your lunch. I'm a professional lunch maker. He's like, job number one, mum. So in that, wearing multiple hats. And I am one of the half of Disappointing Friend podcast, The Disappointing Friend. We'll get it right. We'll get it right one day.
And I'm Juliet Miranda Rowe, your spinster guru. Today, we're talking about an interesting topic, toxic friendships, which we have a bit of a debate amongst the two of us of, like, how does one define a toxic friendship, especially considering that word gets thrown around a lot. And so maybe I'll send it to you, Fatuma. Like, what do you think of when someone says a toxic friendship?
Well, I want to start it a little bit different because I was thinking yesterday about how I've ended up so cynical about some friendships or people that come into my life. So I went to dinner with some girlfriends who I adore and love, and we were talking about when people come into your life and why they come in. As Vera knows, I'm 40. So as I've gotten a bit older, the relationships that have come into my life, they're not as, your new friends aren't as organic as like your 20s. Like, you're at a bar, you drink too much, you need a lipstick or a lip gloss, and then you bump into a girl and she's like, yeah. And then you're like, oh my God, let's go to the dance floor. And then like, you're hanging out and it's like this dreamy world. At the moment, the people that come into your life are weirdly more strategic. You're meeting at events that are a bit more grown up or work, or, and also maybe I'm not as open. Like, if I'm doing my lipstick, I'm doing it to get out. I'm not trying to chit chat and like have a moment or talk about boys in the toilet. So anyway, so through that, we're talking about how people come into your life and why they come into your life. Now, I find that toxic relationships in my older years are a little bit different because people are more strategic about how they appear. Like, I'm like, oh, damn. And what they're there for and how they kind of bring it in, because you're like, oh, what's happening here? But I thought I'd start on how I got to some of the relationships that have been toxic, but how my intention started. The other day someone was asking me about getting something gift wrapped, and it came to me, and it's so dumb, but from the ages of 16 to 20, I used to love my friends so much. I used to get everything gift wrapped professionally at Maya. I would literally go up to this Maya station and be like, I love my friend so much. I really want her to have this gift, but I need it gift wrapped in proper paper and ribbon, right? And like, I would have spent hundreds of dollars on gift wrapping. When Maya told me they were closing down the department, I think I might have cried. I was like, why? They're like, because nobody uses this service anymore. People just wrap at home.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But it's not as special. So I went from that to like, now running away from people, hiding in toilets because I don't want to see them. Because some of my relationships have gone so left. And I was trying to work out, like, with those ones that have gone so left, or the, some of the relationships that become toxic, and why I'm literally in the toilet being like, oh my God, I can't come out. Like, that person has made me feel so terrible. And the anxiety and the stress that I feel about even saying hi is what I can't. And that's what I talk about toxic. People that take a little piece of you, and whether they come into it like strategically, because whether it's because there's something happening in their own life, whether it's because they need to feel better, or maybe because they genuinely didn't come in showing up as your friend. They came in like, oh, who's that bitch that looks a bit popular? I want a piece of that. And they come in and they show up and they say little tiny little things, little bombs, whether they think it's the truth or not. I don't need that. I don't know you that well. Why do you need to tell me how I need to feel? Oh, you can't dance. All these little side remarks that are actually just taking from me. I'm like, what? Why would you say that? Or, oh, that's a little bit harsh. And then, like, over time, you don't even know, because they start with a little bomb here, a little bomb there, a little bomb there. You leave feeling a little like, oh, what was that? Or text message that you know, like, should be a phone call because it's so passive aggressive. You're like, you're my friend. Why are you saying this shit about me? Or why are you making little things? Or why are you, like, having a side conversation with a whole group of other people that is really just a bit of a bully move? And I thought about that and I was like, oh, how did I go from gift wrapping professionally to hiding in the toilet? And that's what I mean about toxic relationships. It's not that you've fallen out. It's not like that person drains me because they're having a hard time. I'm talking about the people that come in with, like, whether it's an objective of them, but they say cutting and they do cutting things to kind of tear you down when they don't need to. We're not enemies, we're friends.
I guess I have a different perspective. Not to say I haven't wanted to hide in bathrooms when I've seen people. And I think actually this is where I struggle with a lot of relationships because I think about things very differently to a lot of people. I guess when I have big emotional reactions to people, I don't necessarily automatically place it in, like, they have done something to me, particularly not at this period in my life. I kind of interrogate, like, is this a result of something that they've actually done, or is this a result of my perception of something that they've actually done? And the reason I do that is because I have had mental health struggles in my life where I know that my perception of reality has been distorted, as in, like, I've been in such a state that I've seen things as malice when they're really more ignorance. I guess, like, the past few years for me have been a journey of, okay, how do I, like, ask people challenging questions in a way that, like, creates an opportunity for people to kind of explain their actions. But in saying that, this can also get me into trouble in that it means that I can deny my own, like, intuition around, like, oh, no, sometimes people – I'm not even going to say sometimes people are bad. It's just that sometimes the way that people behave doesn't necessarily, like, align with your values. And because I have a lot of compassion for myself and my own, like, unhealed versions of myself throughout my life, when other people behave in certain ways, I will often view it as, like, oh – I can see that they're doing this, but I know it's coming from that and, like, blah, blah, blah.
No, that's why I'm older than you.
Yeah, but the thing is with this, what I've realised is I do have people in my life, you know, they fuck up and they might, like, behave from, like, an unhealed place. But if you hold them accountable, they'll go, you're right, like, I was doing that and this is the reason why I was doing it. I'm sorry. And we can move forward. Or they want to move forward. What I'm kind of coming to is that if someone has demonstrated to you that they literally cannot see or don't want to see the ways in which they contribute to, like, toxic dynamics for whatever reason, and not just yours but in, like, multiple ones, you need to, like, stop projecting yourself onto them, essentially.
Yeah.
And this has been, like, a big thing for me over the past few years is going, like, okay, stop seeing this person for who you, like, believe they have the potential to be and see them for who they actually are showing up as, and also listen to who they believe that they are, because people will talk, people will say things that will, like, reveal who they believe that they are to be.
Yep.
And actually I saw this TikTok which was about dating, but it was like, if you are someone that when you're dating someone, you get really excited about, like, the potential of them and, like, you can see them doing this and, like, oh, you can, you think that your relationship will transform them in some way. Know that it's not them that you're in love with. It's actually you. You're in love with yourself, because what you're saying is that if I was in this person's life, this is how great they would be.
Yeah.
I've had, like, feelings with people in the past and been like, oh, my God, like, I can just, like, show them how great they can be, or I can just, like, show them how to be disciplined, or I can just show them how to talk about their feelings, or I can just show them this and blah, 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 blah. And don't get me wrong, like, I love learning from my friends and I have friends that love learning from me, but it's, like, a reciprocal thing. Like, if someone's just, like, not ready or can't see, you know, ways in which their behaviour is getting in the way, they're not going to change, basically, on their own.
100%. And I think it's interesting because, like, I've been in a relationship for a long time, and the term red flags is a new concept, yeah? Because I think my husband had a few red flags, but I ignored it. And I find it interesting that now people are like, red flags, red flags.
Yeah.
And I think that for romantic relationships, it's such a thing, but I also think it should be in the same with friendships. Yeah, if someone says five cutting things to you for no reason at all, I'm not talking about little, like, side little, like, oh, do you think you should wear? I think little cutting things. I'm asking myself why. For me, I'm, like, now tapping into those red flags in people. Okay, so you've come into my life. What? This is a competition. Like, I'm happy for you to do this. Why are we comparing? Like, what is this energy that you're bringing into this relationship? Like, I'm time poor. I want to have a good time. I want to talk about life. I want to uplift you. I come with that. You come and you say five comments or two or three over the time of 6 weeks. Sorry. No, thanks. I don't need that energy. I'm not asking for you to come as a therapist. And I'm like one of the biggest things I have. I hate competition in friends. I hate people that are put down people. I've probably done that in my past. So I'm not even trying to be like, oh, my God. I have been a toxic friend. Like, I've been in relationships with friends where it's kind of run its course and I don't have anything not really that nice to say because the relationship should have been done with. So when I come in, I'm just like, oh, yeah, of course you're late. Like, those little cutting things, unnecessary. It's never going to bring the mood up if you come with, like, five things that are already negative. But in my new life, I'm like, what? So-and-so, I had dinner with her. Why is she saying that? You've got five chances for this new friendship. I see you say stuff to me that I don't think is actually uplifting. I hear you say stuff about other people that's quite nasty. I'm like, no, thanks. That energy for me is not what I'm bringing into my new life.
I'm in two thoughts about this because I think I understand that, yeah, when you're an adult, you're time poor. So I understand, like, the idea of, like, trying to curate the energy around you.
No, I'm not trying to curate the energy. I'm this. I come in showing up.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're friends, old friends, new friends, whatever. I come in, we haven't seen each other. Our intention here to connect is love, purity. We love each other. We want to literally spend time. I don't understand why anyone's coming in with a negative attitude. Unless I've physically done something. So you come in, you're like, hey girl, oh my God, I texted you last week and you didn't reply back to me. Oh, that was a bit shit. Let's nut it out. I'm not sitting at a dinner where you say little cutting things to me to put me down and then you're like, you either address them. We're too old for that. Even in my 30s, you lay down and you go, hey, actually, I'm unhappy about this. Yeah. Or, oh, I've come in not really feeling the best or excited to see you because, like, I texted you on a Monday and it's now Saturday. Yeah. And, like, you know, I've got shit to do too. So it's not about, like, time poor. It's just about the energy and the intention that you're bringing in.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. Okay, good. Because I was going to say, sometimes people avoid people's cues for those types of conversations because they just want to avoid the bad energy. That's why I've said this before and I'll say it forever, but it's like relationships are a dynamic. They're like how you navigate the space between two people. So if you're feeling a certain thing from someone else and you're not necessarily voicing that, you're equally at fault of maintaining the kind of shitty dynamic, right?
Mm-hmm.
I also think that particularly over the past few years as, like, therapy speak has become more normalized, people misinterpret certain terms. People have really, like, misunderstood what boundaries are, and I think that they think that they are rules that you, like, assert onto other people, whereas boundaries are, like, understanding your own internal boundaries and then understanding how you communicate your needs and expectations to other people.
Yeah, 100%.
And how you yourself maintain those boundaries. If you're going about your life getting resentful because someone else is behaving in a way that you don't like, but then you're not actually kind of saying, like, hey, actually, I don't like that.
100%.
Like, I was thinking about it because I personally, like, I don't wear shoes in my house. And I think it's pretty obvious because, like, right near the front of my door is, like, a cupboard of shoes.
Yeah.
Now, when people enter my house, sometimes I go like, oh, please take your shoes off.
Yeah.
Other times I don't.
Yeah.
And do I sit there and maybe, like, get a bit like, oh, I think that's really fucking gross that this person's in my house with their shoes on? Sure. But I also go, you know what? You didn't say anything about it and, like, just forget about it now. I don't then, like, months later kind of think, like, wow, they really overstepped my boundary because the boundary was never stated.
Yes, that's my biggest hate about when people tell they got boundaries. I'm like, so when did these boundaries occur? Because I've known you for a hot minute and why weren't they communicated? And then how do you expect me to, like, live by your boundaries if you never told me in the first place?
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like I can see it when people are like that because, like, that's how I was. Actually, around the time they had major blow-ups with my friends, that's why I have, like, a lot of empathy for people when they're in states like this because I know how intense you feel and how you feel so out of – well, for me, I'm not going to project that onto other people. I know for me, a few years ago, I felt so out of control in my own body. I had so much anxiety. It was literally crippling me. My sciatica was so bad sometimes I would have to lie on the floor. I couldn't sit up straight because my back pain was so sore. Like, it was literally, like, physical stress from
just how bad my anxiety was. And you try to control every aspect of your life. And what it does is it becomes like, if you're around people and you feel a certain way, it's about them. It's all externalized. It's they need to behave a different way around me because... And this is me, at least, all right? And I definitely had really rigid boundaries. And I didn't necessarily, like, communicate them to people. I just was like, oh, I feel so... Literally everything felt like an attack. Like, the most subtlest of grievances felt like this tornado and, like, physical pain. Like, literally couldn't sit up straight, couldn't walk, like, shooting pain. Like, actually, when I think about it now, I'm like it's wild to me because... Sometimes I find it hard to access certain memories. Like, I'll be like, why was I so angry? And I'm like, oh, my brain has, like, pacified a lot of, like, the past few years, I think. So I'll be like, it really wasn't that bad. And I'll be like, no, I think this is just what happens. Like, your brain does, like, alters your perceptions of certain things.
Yeah.
Anyway, and so I understand why people do it. It's like... It's easier to try and control an environment than it is to, like, be vulnerable and try and, like, express your needs, because most of us would have grown up in households where, like, you know, don't talk back or, like, don't express your needs and desires. We grew up in an schooling institution,
yeah,
you know,
true.
Where you're, like, not allowed to leave the room even if you know need to go to the bathroom or, like, little things like that. It's we're not taught how to actually voice our needs. And the other thing is as well is, like, we're not taught how to, like, ask for things and then maybe have, like, kind of negotiations around it. Because that's the thing as well. Just because, like, you have an expectation of how someone behaves, that doesn't mean that, like, people have to behave that way. So for me, I have acoustic shock. I hit my head last year. I'm now partially deaf in my right ear. I literally go into, like, a fight or flight hypervigilance response when I'm in environments that are too loud. I've been at parties where I've been like, can we turn the music down? Or I've been in gym classes where I've been like, hey, you need to turn the music down. This doesn't always happen. I've been at dinner parties where I'll be like, I can't have two of you talking on either side of me at the same time because I'm literally, like, going to have a panic attack.
Mm.
The thing is like, I recognize I cannot control the room. Like, I don't want to. I don't want everyone to be whispering because I'm there. What I do is I take myself out of the situation, try and calm myself down, and if I can't calm myself down, I go, you know what, it might be time for me to leave, or it might be time for me just to, like, put some earplugs in. I think that happens within relationships, is that rather than actually trying to get real and have conversations, people are just like, it's easier for you to just be like, goodbye, not exist.
See, but I'm not even saying that. I reckon that's just like lack of tolerance. I'm talking about the friendships or the people that come in, all right? This is what I'm talking, this is my definition, because I've had a few toxic relationships in my life where A, some of them have been toxic from the start. Like, that person has come in and I, again, didn't see the red flags even though they were there. And I don't know if it's that kind of, like, you know, a little bit bitchy culture that was quite popular in when I was in my 20s. Like, you know, you were a little bit bitchy and that was fine. I was bitchy, so I'm not even trying to be like, here I was, an innocent. I was bitchy. I was in a bitchy kind of circle and where you kind of just gossiped about, like, there's 10 people in the group. That in those groups, there's smaller groups that are a bit closer, and you would actually just gossip about the other people. But you'd be like, we're all friends. Yeah. We are all really good friends. But on a Tuesday to Wednesday, I'm definitely bitching about Lydia over there. I mean, like, what's she doing with her life?
Yeah.
You know? And I'm not uplifting her. I'm not going to her and saying, hey, Lydia, I've noticed A, B, and C. As a group of 10, how can we help you? No, I'm calling Senorita over there and being like, what a fucking loser. Oh, my God, can you believe that she's letting blah, blah treat her like that?
Yeah.
Again, not uplifting. Yeah. Not. And I mean, like, in your 20s, I can see because you don't really understand it. In your 30s, I never understand it. I've had people come into my life and I'm like, is she... Am I in a friendship where I'm getting hazed?
Yeah.
Where someone is literally just being like, oh, my God, I could do better. Oh, you wore that again?
Yeah.
Who cares? I wear my clothes every day. I'm pretty sure I wore this same outfit because I love it so much.
It's great.
Yesterday, and I was like, damn, no one saw me. I was in the office all day. I will wear it today at the market.
Yeah.
You know? I don't need someone coming to me and be like, you wore that yesterday. Yeah, girl, I know, because I picked it up from the floor and put it on my body.
Yeah.
I'm talking about that. And sometimes in those relationships, I'm trying to understand what the person's motive is. Because they're the same people that are like, I love you, sweet. Oh, my God, call me. And you think you're in an intimate relationship with them, that you're actually friends. But for some reason, they thrive on actually making you feel like shit.
Yeah, I would call someone out on that. Like, I remember when I was younger having someone at uni who used to be like, hey, outfit repeater. And I would be like, hey, outfit rememberer. Yeah, some days I was coming into school wearing the same outfit.
But again,
but
who cares?
Yeah.
I always like to understand the friendships. Like, you're meant to be my friend. Mm. Why is it? Like, I'm sure I have been a toxic friend at one point. There's one friendship that I'm remembering. At the end of it, I was just so done that any time I showed up, I'm not going to lie, I don't even know why I just didn't just say, hey, this is just not serving me anymore. I'm coming in with, like, anger. Like, that person could have just coughed and I was like, oh, of course she's coughing. Yeah. Who comes to lunch when you've got a cough?
But like, I think that's when you don't speak up, though.
But that's what I mean. No. The friendship was done. Yeah. There was nothing to talk about. But instead, I, like, for 2 years, strung this toxic relationship where we're just barbing each other. She'd do one little wah, I would do a little wah, and it just happened. Like, there was no good intention. I had no good intentions for her at all. I was like, blah, blah. And that's what I'm saying. I am, when I'm talking about toxic relationship, I'm not talking about, like, people or a relationship breakdown. I'm talking about people that come with the intention to a little bit hurt you. And maybe it makes them feel good. Maybe it's, like, something to do with what they're going through, but they're definitely not communicating it. They're not like, hey, I'm so sorry that I said A, B, and C.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry that I put you down. And I'm not in there for, like, a month. It's like, oh, wow, for 2 years I was with blah, blah, and she literally hazed me and bullied me, and I didn't even know what was happening.
I was 13, 14, you have reminded me. So my primary school went to year 8. So after year 6, there was also an additional year 7 and 8. A lot of kids transferred out into real high schools, but my stayed for year 7 and 8 because my mum was, like, really obsessed with me and my younger sister just, like, holding on to our childhood for as long as possible. But actually those 2 years were, like, so damaging for me. When I was in year 6, I was, like, one of the most popular girls in the year level kind of thing. And then in year 7 and 8, puberty kicks in. Boys started just saying, like, disrespectful things, and I would, like, talk back, essentially. So I went from, like, being, like, one of the most popular girls to, like, in year 7 and 8, having these really tense relationships with, like, a very small cohort of people because we were a small school, and then not having the friends that I had had essentially since year 1, not having them support me in a way because they were, like, dating these shitty boys. Well, that's at least what it felt like. The start of the year really started in this way where I had gone from having friends who, like, we spend the whole summer together, we arrive at school, and, like, first weeks of school, it's like, well, I'm having flashbacks. I think what happened is that my, like, bestest friend or whatever was dating a boy that I had heard, like, cheated on her, and I told her. And this got interpreted as, like, I was a shitty person.
Yeah. Or jealous or whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, and these two girls, one of them was new, one of them had been there in grade 5, 6. They, like, befriended me, I guess. But I think also at that point, mentally, I was so checked out of the social dynamics of the school. Like, as much as I was, like, getting bullied, I was like, I feel internally so much better than these people. And I know that this is fucked, and I could probably feel it, but I was like, you guys are so small. You have small minds. I can't wait till I get to proper high school where people will appreciate me. Just you wait. Like, this was kind of my 13, 14. And I was like, I just need to do these 2 more years and then I'm out of here and I can leave these small-minded people behind. Which is just so funny when I think about it now because I'm like, wow, I really thought highly of myself. Anyway, but these two girls kind of befriended me and they literally used to do things like, hey, Juliet, we're going to have lunch. Like, around the front of the school near the roses, like, meet us there. And I'd be like, okay. And then I'd go there and they weren't there.
Mm.
And I wouldn't take this personally because internally I felt better than everyone.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't even think like, oh, they've told me to come somewhere and they're not here. I would just be like, oh, they're clearly, like, you know, doing something else, whatever.
Yeah.
And one time they even came to my house and they did this thing where they initiated us. You know, we're just being dumbasses at 13. They did this thing where we like threw talcum powder all over my bedroom. And then they, like, just spraying my whole room with talcum powder.
Oh, my God, my mum would have killed me.
I don't remember my parents' reaction, but to me, this was, like, the most fun I'd had all year.
Because
I was like, this is so silly.
Yeah.
But they literally, like, did it, and then they're like, oh, shit, we've got to go. And I was like, okay. And, like, they left. I didn't find out this was, like, a mean thing that they were doing until later in the year we got told that we weren't allowed to use the girls' bathroom on the first floor of the school anymore because people used to do that thing where they would wet toilet paper and throw it on the roof.
Yeah.
So we've been told that there'd been too much of that and that now to use the ground floor toilet, you had to go to the office and log when you had used it so that the school could track who was doing these things. Anyway, it got kind of frustrating. So this one girl eventually just was like, you know what, I'm just going to say I was doing it and, like, I'll take the blame. I don't care. So she goes in and the principal was like, okay, well, we need to have a proper conversation about this. And she was like, why? Like, is it really costing that much to remove? Like, I'm not the only one that was doing it. And she was like, no, what do you have against Juliet Miranda Rowe? And apparently it wasn't just that they had thrown toilet paper at the roof. Someone had literally, like, put toilet paper on the mirror saying, they'd, like, said something mean against me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, my God, I have no idea who would have done that, who's a girl, because I know all the boys hate me. But I was like, I don't know what I've done wrong to any of the girls. And then it wasn't until I was at my proper high school. One of these girls had a cousin there, and I was like at a party with her, and she was like, oh, she hated you. She used to like do all these mean things to you. And I was like, oh, okay.
And that's what I'm talking about. People that are there in your life, yeah. Literally, like, you're having dinner with them, you're thinking that they're your friend, and like they're giving you advice. But really, there's something about the relationship, or there are things that they're doing outside of that that is really like a little bit nasty. That's what I'm talking about in toxic relationships. Like, sometimes it's not like that obvious. You're like, you literally think, like, I used to have a friend, and it's interesting because now we have a normal relationship. Mm. For this time, I don't know what it was. I don't know if I just rubbed her the wrong way. I don't know if it was because, I don't know, like, people liked me. I still, to this day, and I don't care enough about it to, like, quiz her about it, to be like, oh, remember a time where you literally would come to me with beautiful intentions, but, like, literally put me down to, like, A, B, and C people,
yeah.
And, like, literally, like, say really disparaging things about my work or who I was, or, like, just little things that I just, like, what was that about? I've never, ever had this conversation because I literally just don't care about it enough.
Mm.
But for ages, I literally thought she was my friend. I, like, remember throwing her a party, and at the party, she was still, like, doing little, like, bombs, like, oh, what's this food? Why is it so late? Like, things, yeah, like that, where I literally thought these people were my friends.
Yeah.
And then it's just, like, you get to a point, and I think that with boyfriends, people always, like, look at that, look at that, look, yeah, at that. With friendships, you just end up feeling a little bit, like, broken, or you start to go, I'm not good enough. You start to internalize, yes, all these things.
Yeah.
And it's not because you are a shitty person. It's because that person is literally going out of their way to literally poke little holes, yeah, or disparage your character or talk to other people about it instead of just, so it's not about boundaries. It's not like they secretly just don't really like you, or they've, something's happened with them, or,
yeah,
maybe they want to get out of that relationship. And instead of just going, hey, blah, blah, you know what? Had a really good time last 6 months, whatever. But, you know, for some reason now I'm not. And just, like, coming out of it, it's like they need the relationship to break down so they can just have a way out. And I'm like, why? Why not just? Yeah. And I understand what happens in your teens, because when you're a teen, your brain's not really functioning. You, like, have this, like, one person has to be the queen. You can't communicate. Yeah. There's a hierarchy. You come to school one day with 10 friends. You leave. You come to school, yeah, the next day. You're literally like, why is no one talking to me? There's no actual reason.
Yeah.
You didn't do anything. It's just this weird mentality in teenage life.
Yeah.
It is brutal.
Well,
I don't understand how it exists in your 20s, 30s. And, like, you know, at 40, I, interestingly, like, at work situations, there's been a few times I'm like, what? And because, like, it depends on how you react to it.
Yeah.
Now I see it. I'm like, oh, so-and-so has done this once,
yeah,
twice, three. Okay, in my mind now, I don't care how lovely she is. I don't care how nice. Absolutely no. You, yeah, are now in my head. Like, you're a red flag.
It's interesting you say that, because that other girl that had done this, I was like, oh, what was her problem with me? She brought up the fact that when we were in grades 5, 6, when you start, like, applying for actual high schools, she had applied for the high school that I eventually actually went to, but she didn't get in. And I had said, that sucks, but, like, I can't really imagine you there. And then I actually said, I can't imagine any of us anywhere else but here, because I was trying to have, like, a sappy moment.
Yeah.
I was trying to be like, oh, guys, I can't imagine us anywhere else but here. All she heard was, I can't imagine you there. And because I was, like, the artsy girl, people, I suppose it's jealousy, but, like, because I went to a very artsy high school and she didn't get into this artsy high school, I think she internalized this as, like, oh, you don't see me there because you think that you're better than me.
Mm.
And it's funny because at that point in time, I really didn't think I was better than them. It wasn't, yeah, until the next year that I had decided I was better than everyone there. But at that point in time, I was trying to be sappy. But she took this and was like, oh, I'm going to destroy your life. Little did she know like all of these little things she did to me, I was like, I didn't even interpret them basically as like bullying, because like I, at that point I was like so checked out to how other people treated me, because it literally was coming from like so many different angles at that point.
Yeah, which is not like, good either. No. That you were like, you know what I mean? Like you were like, oh my God, I'm getting bullied every single day. So like, oh my God, at least we had talcum powder fun. Yeah, I even had to clean up like, for like a month after. There's still talcum powder in my hair till this day. Yeah. But that was a fun time. So I didn't even know that was a bully flex.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I didn't even realize this was bullying, because that was actually so fun. But it was funny because when I got to uni, actually, between like 18 to 21, I had friends there who at some point in my honours year had decided that like I was a shitty person. And he was doing what I now will call protest behaviours, which is actually what like a toddler will do, right? They'll kind of like, rather than voicing what has happened that is wrong, they will do little cutting things because they're trying to protest. They're trying to like make you know in whatever way that is possible. And like teenagers do this as well. That's why rather than her saying to me like, hey, this made me feel a certain way, she decided she was going to try and like do all these little things. I do think adults do it because I think that friendships make us like regress to a certain level, which we've spoken about before. But yeah, when I was at uni, this person literally was like just treating me like really coldly. And I had on multiple occasions prompted, being like, what's going on here kind of thing. And rather than have a frank conversation with me about it, because to be honest, I think sometimes you can't necessarily isolate it, what it is that's pissing you off about someone. I think sometimes, literally, I think sometimes you're just spending too much time together. And it's like, oh, actually, I just need a break.
Yeah.
But they couldn't articulate it. And rather than even saying like, I'm annoyed at you, they would be like, what are you talking about? I'm fine.
Yeah.
And also that year or the year before, my grandmother had died. So I kind of was just like in a bit of an existential moment anyway. And I was quitting smoking. So I was sort of just like, you know what? I'm probably just being really hypersensitive. And it is what it is. So I kind of was like, all right, they're being weird and like whatever. I have my own shit going on. At one point in the year, I came up to him and someone else that was also a friend. And I was like, hey, blah, 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 blah. And we're at this point, they would have been 20 and 21. They went, oh, can you hear something? Like when you're a child and you go up to like your sibling and your sibling pretends you're not there. And then they like walked away from me. And do you know what's wild is that I'd kind of forgotten about this memory until a few years ago, because at the time when it happened, I was like, what the fuck is wrong with them? And not like I didn't go, whoa, that was so juvenile and rude and like I don't want to be friends with these people. What I did was like start spiraling and I start probing like anyone around us. And I actually ended up probing Laura Sabine, and she was like, oh, he's been saying this, this and this about you for months. And I literally was like, one, so angry, because I was like, I've asked him to his face what his problem is. Like, why couldn't he just have a conversation with me? And I'd been sitting there for months being like, what's wrong with me? I'm being annoying. Now, you'd think that I would like stop this relationship at this point.
No, always. You want more.
No. You're like, I did not do that.
I want them to like me. Why don't they like me?
Well, I actually just wanted them to have a conversation with me. Oh, do you know what? It's more that. It did become like, I want us to be friends.
Yeah.
But it was also like I at this point would have just been happy with an actual conversation.
Yeah.
Because that's what I wanted. Like I wanted someone to actually like own up to whatever was going on. Once again, that never happened. And then actually I remember we got to like New Year's of that year and I was drunk and I was like, what is your problem with me? And he just laughed in my face and was like, oh my God, you're so dramatic, or like something like that. They ended up having like something kind of personal stuff happened in their lives, and we ended up having these moments where I like comforted them, I think. So we did kind of rekindle the friendship, but it was never actually discussed.
But again, I would wonder, and this is why I think it's really interesting. He was just never your friend. It's interesting because and this is when I'm talking about toxic relationship, because it's like, are you friends? Were you friends?
Yeah.
Because if you need to find like satisfaction, either putting someone down or talking about them, or actually just being really nasty.
Yeah.
You don't really want them to do really well. You don't have really good intentions, because that's for me what a friendship is about the intention that you put into it. Mm. So I wonder, for me, it's interesting with you still felt the need to be there for him while he was having a bad moment. It's like, well, why? And so now in my life, when I've let those kind of people in my life, that again, said some things that I'm like, oh, that's weird. Put me down. Oh, that's weird why I kept going. And it's often because I actually really didn't feel really good about myself. Yeah. That I was like, I'm going to make people really like me. Mm. So even though these people, A, did not like me, A, B, had shitty things to say, I would just be around.
Yeah.
I would be the first one to send them flowers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If the gift wrapping station at Maya was available, I'd have gift wrapped them like a present. Yeah. The truth about it from day dot is that they weren't, their intention was never this uplifting space.
I don't think it's all about intention. I think I need intention and impact, because I have friends that will like intentionally be one certain way, and I'll be someone that's like, hey, the impact right now is like, I don't love it. It's interesting now, because now that I'm at a place where I've had like a certain level of like success in my career, I'll get a little confusion, because I'll be like, is this person trying to be my friend, or are they using this as a networking opportunity? And like, I do like collaborating with a lot of my friends, but it's more like sometimes you only hear from someone if they're like reaching out to you to like get you to help them with something. Mm-hmm. And for me, I go, okay, you're in my network.
Yeah.
Like that's what this is.
You redefine the and relationship. Then, you're like,
well, it's not
friends.
Even redefining it, because I haven't defined it yet. I could be hanging out with someone for like a year. Like I could think of them as like, no, we're more than an acquaintance, but I might not necessarily be like, oh, we are tight, we are friends. Because for me, it takes me a while to like establish trust. And also I like depth in my relationships.
Yeah.
I guess also I've been burned.
For me, a year. You're asking for a year of my life, all right? And we're not friends. Like, so you're asking me to be not there. No. The way that I see it is this. If you're asking to take from these three things that are the things that thrive me, my family, my business, and my ambition to create a really good business. If I'm taking an hour to sit with you, like a month, a week, or whatever, we must be friends. Because I'm not sitting with an acquaintance or a networker for those reasons. So the reason why I need a define, because I'm not saying that your time isn't precious. My time, for me, the way I view it, is extremely precious. And if you're taking it, you're taking it for five reasons. Because we're friends. Mm. We're taking it because we're having a meeting, which is a business meeting.
Yeah.
You're taking it because you're a parent of my child, like a friend's friend. Mm. Like, so my, as a mum, my job is to like make sure he's in like a good environment.
Yeah.
So like, we may not be friends, but I will definitely sit with you and hang out with you to cultivate that relationship. Yeah. And hopefully we become friends. Yeah?
Yeah.
But I will do that. I will literally, like, I'm having a lunch party after this, which is just with Arlo's parents' friends. I really like them. So with you, but like, I would do that with people that I didn't like, just to cultivate.
Yeah.
Another reason, to grow my business, and B, because I'm gonna like, you seem fun enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. At 6 weeks or like a certain amount of time, if my agenda doesn't line up with the relationship, see you later. Because for me, it's like, I don't have time to social network with someone that's on my friend for a year and then be like, are we friends? No.
Yeah, no, I'm agreeing with you there. But what I'm saying is, for me, is that it can be hard, because I'll have people who it's like, maybe I interpreted this as like we're being friends, but in reality, if I look at it retroactively, it's like, oh, actually, was this like a business relationship where you were getting me to provide free services for you?
See, for me, I would know that. Yeah, very, like, that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. I would know that. And maybe, you know, I'm a little bit older than Juliet, so like, I have a very low tolerance for people that are not showing up in my life for good intention. Yeah? You say, like, because I literally come to every situation in my life now. I'm not saying that I used to do it. So I'm talking about just 2023 to 2024 with just pure intentions. Any situation I put myself in there, I'm coming in with this. I love and lie. It's dumb and silly, but that's just the way I spend my life. I smile and I say hi to most people in the world because I'm like, nah, this is how I'm coming into
it's
every
not dumb and
situation.
Silly.
No, but that's like, I don't care what other people think about it. That's what I've decided to do. And if anyone comes into my life now that like gives me three red flags, it's just a no. It's like, I'm not giving you more than that. Like, I'm coming to you with love, beautiful, like, positivity. I'm never going to, like, you know, make the person feel shit. I'm never coming there to, like, do anything terrible. If I'm not feeling well, I'm not doing well, or say I am in a bad mood, I will actually, you and I have had this conversation. Mm. I'm like, oh, hey, I'm really sorry about that. Like, because that was never my intention. And that's why I'm saying, like, it's not that I don't come up badly, but I literally, if I notice that I've even, like, a friend of mine, this is a perfect example, a really good friend of mine, It was her birthday last week and I just totally forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I weirdly called her up last week to ask her about something and she seemed really, really, really upset.
Yeah.
No idea that it was her birthday. Ugh, terrible. We've been friends for many, many, many years.
Yeah. I would be furious.
Yeah. Because then we texted and then she had made it apparent that it was her birthday last week. Okay. So I called my husband and I was like, I feel awful because I love this person.
Yeah.
And what she's seeing is like, Fatima doesn't care about me. Yeah. Like it's my birthday. How dare she? Blah, 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 blah. That's not my intention. I am just obviously dumb and hadn't like put it in there. Like, you know, in my heart when I see her and I haven't like actually acknowledged it enough. Like I was like, let's go out to dinner on blah, blah. Let me celebrate your birthday properly.
Yeah.
When I get to that dinner, I have full intention of saying to her, hey, that is really shit. You know what? That's not good enough. Because that's my intention was never to make you feel terrible because in these years of friendship, you don't know what my birthday is. I feel terrible that you even had to be in that headspace because every intention I go to in life now is just about that. So now when someone comes in with just a teeny tiny bit, you had a bad day, that's not my problem.
Mm.
Yeah, if you can't recognize it in 24 to 48 hours and think that that's okay, you got three strikes. I don't need to tell you you've got three strikes. For new people, in my head, I'm just like, no thanks, because you're not coming in with the same loving intention. You're coming in like, why do you have to say something negative? Why are you like questioning my parenting? Like, why all these unnecessary things that are invalidating me and my experience? What for? Like, I don't understand it. And I don't need, because this person or these people are new, I don't need to sit down and be like, so what was that about? No, you're a new friend. You're a new person in my life. Absolutely not. In my 30s, I'd be like, I wonder why blah, blah said that I had done this, or I wonder why that person said that. I would ponder and think about it and take on their mess and like make it make me feel a certain way. Now I take it and I put in a little mental note.
See, I don't necessarily ponder it. Like I probe. So what I was
not
like,
again.
Wait.
I want to hear this.
With your friend though, did you, when you found out it was her birthday, did you actually ask her how it made her feel?
No, I want to have it in person. I don't want to have it over text. She couldn't talk to me because she was at work. I think it's just like, again, you and I have had this like text versus calling.
Yeah, yeah.
Like for her to have to like write down her feelings in a text message, when I know after being friends with that person for that long, I know where her mental state is at right now. I know how she's feeling about herself. It would just be like, it is shit.
Yeah, I know. But what I would say, I think it's great that you go, oh, that was really bad of me and I want to make it up to my friends. But I think what we miss out on a lot is actually fully asking people how it actually impacted them and actually getting them to articulate it in their words.
Oh, I'm because, definitely going to ask her, but I just didn't think that it was appropriate at that point in the communication style that we were in. Yeah. She's going to work and then I'm like, how does that? Also, she's not feeling that great. But what I'm trying to say is about being accountable because I don't think enough in relationships, say like whether they're toxic or not, is actually showing up being like, hey, blah, blah, this action must have made, I don't even, like in my heart, I don't even need to really know how that, like, obviously, I want to hear it from her perspective, but I know what it's like to be on the other side of it. I'm definitely going to ask her, but I know, okay, if your best friend of X amount of years, while you're going through a very vulnerable time, can't remember your birthday, most of the time it's going to make you feel terrible. You know what I mean? And I'm happy to hear it from her perspective.
No, but that's what I'm saying, though, because the reason why I think it's important to hear from someone else's perspective is that it's like a gateway for actually more things. Like it opens up depth. I just know because for years, I was that person that was like, I'm making assumptions about how people feel about certain things.
Yeah.
And then when I actually probe them about it, yes, they would definitely be like, oh, you were right about this, but actually it was this other thing that was going on. I think this is especially important because, like I said, for me, I will project the way that I think and feel about certain things onto lots of people, and that isn't how they feel or process the world. And so for me, it's been this thing of like really trying to understand how each of my friends experience the world and what their expectations and what they actually need from things. Because the more I probe, the more I go like, whoa, the way that I experience things is so different to all of my different friends. And yes, we might all have felt like shitty, but it could have been shitty for different reasons. And I say this because I have friends who have gone and done this thing like, oh, I made this person feel bad, so I'm going to give her this thing, where it's like, I didn't need you to give me that.
In long, deep relationships, there's going to be like chaos in it. It's not going to be like always perfect. In those relationships, I'm 100% happy to have an extra dialogue, be aware. I'm not talking about. I'm talking about the relationships where, like, say you were talking about the guy in your 21 who constantly was putting you down. If I had someone in my life that was showing up like that to me, which is always a little bit toxic, a little bit negative, I don't need to sit down with you to understand that. Because to be honest, if you're there to be cutting me down, what do I owe you? In my 20s and 30s, definitely would have sat down.
Yeah.
Also, why go up to someone and you know that's going to make them feel like shit?
Yeah.
So if I have people in my life that come in and their agenda or what they're saying, or they're not self-aware enough that they to acknowledge the stuff that they're saying or the way that they're making me feel is awful, like, I can't let you in. I can't do it. Like, I had a situation a couple of weeks ago where someone did say something cutting. Mm. And I remember being like, again, because I'm a bit more evolved now, I actually don't really care. Like, I was like, oh, okay. They came up to me like an hour later and were like, hey, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, what I said before was so out of line.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that was so unnecessary, but this is the reason why. Mm. Done. I can't have people in my life that say these cutting things and they're like, oh, well, that's my personal opinion.
Yeah.
No, bitch, I don't need that.
Yeah.
Oh, you're out all the time. Who's looking after your child? He's got a dad. Don't need your two cents. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, you're doing this. What's it to you? Like, those are the things that I don't understand how they empower. I don't understand how they build the relationship. I don't understand how those, when you say cutting things about other people that are quite nasty and their intention is to cut them down, I don't understand how that bridges you closer. I don't understand how that, like, strengthens the relationship. What it does for me is say, excuse me, miss, you might be a little bit toxic. There's something happening in your life that's not, and it's not about me trying to sort it out. It's not about me saying, are you okay? No, because you're new to my life. Or you're mid-tier. And I don't have the capacity to find out what is wrong that you're cutting me down. I did that for too long. Mm. Now it's a straight 1, 2, 3, see you later.
I agree with you because I do think that, what people say will tell me more about the other person's perception of the world than it tells me about me. And in saying that, though, like, you mentioned self-awareness a few times, but I think we forget that with self-awareness, there's internal self-awareness and there's external self-awareness. So, like, every room we enter into, every crowd we're in, they're different contexts. So how you behave within different contexts changes, and we do need to give each other feedback. We do need to hear some level of criticism from each other. I think there's a way to do it tactfully.
Yep.
And, like, not everyone knows how to do that tactfully. But, yeah, when I hear people saying cutting things, I guess, I do automatically go, like, ooh, you must have, like, a really nasty inner voice, or like, I kind of think, like,
all of this behavior is just a hard no for me.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm taking out of 40 for Tuma. No thanks. Just out there in the world, if you're listening and you meet me and you do a cut or say things that are awful, you bring bad energy into the room, or I hear you put other people down in that you don't know in a negative way, you're getting a flag. And when you do that three times, best believe you'll never hear from me again.
Well, yeah, definitely paying attention to how people talk about other people. Yeah, at this point in my life, when I hear people saying certain things about other people, and, like, I'll have moments where I'll be like, ooh, are you about to get your period? Like, that was a really harsh
kind of thing. Even if you get your period.
No, I'm not saying it as an excuse, but it's more of a, like, because sometimes people be like, wow, yeah, that was really hateful of me. But if people double down and they can't see that whatever they've said is, I guess for lack of a better word, like, problematic, it is that thing of going, like, oh, we literally just, like, see the world in, like, really different ways.
Yep. You think the sky is definitely a dark blue. I'm thinking it's light blue. And we're not.
The sky
not fucking with
is
you.
Sometimes dark blue.
I know. But I'm just trying to say, if you're seeing a dark blue often, you and I. Because, like I said, especially when people comment about people they don't know, like, if I hear people say nasty, I'm not talking about, like, we've all got our days. There'll be a Rolodex of people that would say Fatuma was a bit negative. 100%, I own that space. In my 20s, I was a hot mess. In my 30s, oh, Lord help me. right now that's just something as I move into the world and I think about the type of mum and the messages that I want to bring in and the type of community that I want to build, the type of businesses that people engage with me in, there is all good intention. I'm going to make a mistake, but I want the person to know at my core, always there's good intention. And that's just something that, like, I now, if I can't see at your core that there is good intention, because if you come into a room and then you're like, blah, blah, oh my God, look at that girl, blah, 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 I know that you're not coming in with good intention because you don't even know her. Like, you're not like her top. Why do you have to comment? I don't know. There's so many things that are happening. Let's talk about something deep. Yeah. Why are we talking about, like, oh, she's a chaser. Oh my God, who does she know? If I hear any of that in the first 20 minutes of me meeting you, first hour, and you, I know you don't even know that person, absolutely the red flag goes up. It makes no sense.
Yeah, I think also, like, the way people talk about conflict they've had with other people, like, if it's always this other person did these things to me, I think I guess it's like a victim mentality.
No, I can be a victim mentality. But again, like I said, it's about, and remember how you said it's about attention and impact. For me, I don't, like, the impact doesn't matter because I need to know, like, deep down,
but the
I need
impact
to know.
Does matter because you've talked about feelings a lot of times.
Yeah.
And your feelings have, it's not just what someone's doing to you that will trigger a feeling. Our feelings are, like, there's so many things that create negative feelings within us. Sometimes I will have a really big reaction to something that is really, in reality, externally, that wasn't a big thing.
Yeah.
And that's even when I'm, like, stable, you know? Yeah. It's literally just like, whoa, that really reminded me of just being powerless or a whatever. And literally the other person might have had a good intention. That's why I say good intentions to me. Mm. Like, do you know who has good intentions? All of the tech billionaires who are exploiting the planet have the best intentions because they believe that they are trying to, like, get humanity onto Mars, or that they're trying to, like, whatever it is. There are so many people that will justify their exploitative behaviors with good intentions. You need to have a level of going, how can you and I reach a point of where not even mutual satisfaction, but mutual understanding?
You need to matter in my life. I can't. Oh my God. Imagine if I had to do that from like, where am I? We're at the Victoria Market all the way to Coburg, and I had to be like, oh my God, this person's done this, or I've been on the train and someone shoved me, and I'm like, I wonder why they've
done
that.
You don't have to wonder why.
I'm like this. What a everyone is trying to get on the tram. Why do you feel like it's your right to shove an old woman so you can get on there? Like, no, I'm sorry. Red flag, toxic person. Who does that?
Even water, even water ingested at the wrong volumes is toxic, all right? So that's what I'm saying, okay? Everyone has the potential for harm and healing.
100%.
All of us,
no,
okay?
I've admitted that
I'm not saying that everyone... Oh, wow, we're getting really spicy.
I know.
We're creating a toxic relationship. I think we're in agreement that it is good to stop drinking the water when you're drowning.
100%. Listen, my last little take is for everyone to actually look at the people in your life. Like, literally, and I'm not talking about, like, long friendships are harder to see toxic values because, I mean, like, if you've been friends with someone for 20 years, you can sometimes see them. You either address them. Don't let someone haze you and make you feel crazy for year after year after year. You either address it and you ask the person, why are you getting off, like, hazing me or bullying me or putting me down? Or these words that you say over the last 20 years have actually been quite, like, nasty or mean or, like, cutting. You either address those, or for the people that we're talking about, new people in your life, you have a code of conduct that you in your head put and you go, you know what, this is the way I'm going to treat everyone. This is the way I want to be treated. If I see people in the, I'm not trying to say every day, we all have bad days, we have good days. It's about acknowledging it when you have made a mistake. Oh God, yesterday I showed up in the worst way. No one is going to be like, red flag. That red flag doesn't exist for me. It's like, oh, blah, blah. Yeah, that was a bit shit. Oh, you know what? She's come back to me and she's acknowledged it. Mm. Wow. That's not it. That's someone that is quite self-aware. Oh, well, she's just having a bad day. Oh, this is what's going on in her life. I get that. I'm talking about the people that get off on nasty comment after nasty comment, little jab after little jab, gossiping about you, because it takes a lot of effort.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of effort to have a coup, to secretly, you know, trying to take someone down or whatever. That is a lot of fucking effort. If you've got that effort, that means you're actually, like, thinking about how you're doing. It's not little jabs. It's like in your head, that person's actually like, oh, plotting or like they're putting effort into that. Yeah. You're not just coming into a room every single day and being like, hi, Fatima, you're not that interesting. Yeah. Oh, oh my God, Fatima, I thought for a black girl you could dance. Your hips don't move that well. Babes, what?
Yeah.
I just can't imagine going into the room. I see lots of people that can't dance. And imagine saying that to everything that you're thinking and, like, just being so not cognitive. Like, how does someone feel about that? You're this a black girl, you can't dance. Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for letting me know.
I think also some of it is cultural because I do think Australian culture has, like, a level of... I'm not excusing it, but I agree with you because sometimes I'll be like, there's a whole room of people and they're talking to each other this way where it's like... you know, tall poppy cut people down kind of like that hazing culture, right? I'm not saying with everyone because some people that's just like they're never going to change that. They've decided that that's their personality. But I do think with certain people to be like, hey, I don't like people talking to me that way.
Anyway, on that note, I feel like I've been yelling at the mic for like the whole time because this is a topic for me that I just am like, no, you got to, people have got to evolve. We all have our bad moments. I'm not trying to say it perfect. When I say I have a full Rolodex of people that'd be like, Fatima is toxic or I've had a toxic moment with Fatima. So I'm not even trying to say that I haven't been a toxic person. I'm just saying moving forward in my life, now that I'm on this bandwagon, have been, I feel like, for a very long time, I now have a way that I want to treat other people. Mm. I want other people to see me. And how I just want to be resolved in life. And if I'm around you and you're out there and you are talking awful about me, other people, criticizing, best know that you will see me two more times. Because, you know, I like to give people the benefit of the doubt. That third time, bye,
leave it there.
Anyway, thank you everyone for tuning in.
Ciao.
Bye.
DM us a voice recording with all your friendship, tribulations and triumphs or just thoughts, or email us at thedisappointingfriendpodcast@gmail.com. We're obviously not psychiatrists or psychologists or therapists in any capacity, but we have years and years and years of experience disappointing friends and being disappointed by friends. Until next time, the disappointing friend has left the chat.